And this is All Things Considered on KTOO in Juneau. I'm Yvonne Crumry. Lawmakers are working to hammer out a compromise on an education bill that could avoid the governor's veto. Governor Mike Dunleavy convened the group, which includes members of his staff, as well as the House and Senate's multi-party majority caucuses and Republican minorities. At a news conference Tuesday, Anchorage Democratic Senator Bill Wilikowski says he's hopeful that lawmakers will work out a deal.
I feel like this morning was a productive conversation. I think, you know, we talked kind of in broader pictures about what we want education in Alaska to look like. And we'll continue the discussion and see where it goes.
Increasing state funding for public education is a major priority for the Democrat-heavy majorities in the House and Senate. They're looking to avoid a repeat of last year, when Dunleavy vetoed an omnibus education bill. Legislative leaders are pursuing bills that would significantly boost funding to districts under the traditional formula. Dunleavy, meanwhile, has proposed modifying the formula to emphasize correspondence and technical education, along with other reforms. Sitka Independent Representative Rebecca Hemschutz, one of the negotiators for the multi-party House majority, says it's too soon to say whether lawmakers and the governor will find common ground. But she says everyone's negotiating in good faith. Lawmakers say they're hesitant to describe specifics of the closed-door meetings. But for now, Wasilla Republican State Senate Majority Leader Mike Schauer says the early signs are positive.
We were all wondering, would we be able to, you know, will we have any confrontation up front where we were just too far apart? It sounds like there was none of that. So that is a good, it sounds like we're in a good start to go. There's a money side and a policy side, and everybody was willing to discuss. So that's this is a good first step.
Dunleavy and legislative leaders have each said they hope to work through negotiations quickly in order to allow school districts time to plan their budgets for the next school year. Good afternoon. You are listening to KTOO. I'm Yvonne Crumry. FBI agents in Anchorage participated in a nationwide immigration crackdown under President Trump last weekend. But local groups, including the Anchorage School District, are pushing back. The local FBI office publicized the operation on social media on Monday, posting three photos of federal officers flanking men in handcuffs. Spokespeople for the FBI and U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement said they had no additional information to release on the operation, including how many arrests or deportations were involved. Bobby Lafferty, the head of ASD's English Language Learning Program, says no federal officers have entered Anchorage schools or detained students. She says the district will follow the law, but it will require officers to have a warrant and follow its procedures.
Those processes include verifying identification, taking down information about the person's badge number, contacting their supervisor to verify the legitimacy of the visit, and then taking information about any warrant or subpoena that they might have.
Although ASD sent a statement to parents featuring a website on immigration just after the FBI's Monday post, Lafferty says much of the information was gathered months ago. She says families have called school staff asking questions.
Some of the immigration resources that we began crafting, we began in the fall in anticipation of families' uncertainty and potential fear. And we will always want to prioritize families feeling safe and comfortable with their children going to school.
Megan Barker at the American Civil Liberties Union of Alaska says the group is focused on informing people how they can respond if asked about their immigration status.
We want to make sure that people are equipped to advocate for their rights.
Barker praises ASD's response, noting that it's focused on requiring that officers have a warrant.
That's something that we are making sure that people know that they must have a judicial warrant, not an administrative warrant or any other kind of piece of paper. It has to be a warrant signed by a judge.
Anyone confronted by a federal officer also has the right to remain silent, Barker says. And more than 100 Juneauites took to the sidewalk across the street from the Alaska State Capitol this afternoon to join a nationwide protest against President Donald Trump's administration and its recent executive orders. As KTOO's Clarice Larson reports, demonstrators say those orders could have far-reaching effects in Alaska.
Protect our democracy! Reject Project 2025!
The slushy sidewalk across the street from the Alaska State Capitol is packed full of people. More than 100 protesters chant and wave signs in the sunshine, denouncing the Trump administration and its policies, especially Elon Musk and Project 2025. In his first week in office, Trump signed dozens of executive orders that could have tremendous impacts on Alaskans, from climate change to oil exploration to birthright citizenship. The Juneau protest on Wednesday afternoon is part of a nationwide movement called 50-51. which stands for 50 protests, 50 states, one day. Thousands of demonstrators also marched at state capitals across the nation, including Minnesota, Texas, and Montana. Jamie Ann Saethten Hasselquist is a local advocate.
So again, we're asking our legislature to protect our democracy. Protect our democracy!
Protect our democracy!
She led the chants and spoke to the crowd. She called on residents to band together to protect the rights of immigrants, Alaska Native people, and other vulnerable populations impacted by the recent orders. Protester Luma Diaz wore an Argentinian flag wrapped around her like a cape. She held a sign that invoked the resistance fighters from the Star Wars movies with a picture of Princess Leia. And she had a matching hairstyle. Diaz says she showed up to support immigration and women's rights.
Well, I'm Argentinian, so I'm an immigrant, and I believe that we do belong in this country, regardless of our social status or immigration status. We are the ones who make America great. Part of that.
Juneau resident Paul DeSlover held a tall sign that blended the names of the president and Alaska Governor Mike Dunleavy. He says he feels like he's experiencing deja vu.
Well, actually, I made this sign 4 years ago for a protest.
DeSlover says he came to push back against the Trump administration's crackdown on immigration and LGBTQ plus rights. He says he thinks Trump's actions are influencing how Governor Dunleavy acts here in Alaska, and that makes him nervous.
Our governor is just like Trump. His policies, his attitude towards government is the same, and it's destructive to democracy.
Another protester, Maggie Drapeau, says she's worried about Trump's efforts to eliminate the U.S. Department of Education. Currently, Juneau has 5 designated Title I schools, meaning they receive a share of federal funding that the state allocates to districts to support students.
Trump going after the Department of Education, that's my most concerning because I have a son who's in the elementary, and he receives services, you know, that he needs to be functioning.
At least a couple state lawmakers joined the crowd, including Juneau House Representative Sarah Hannon, a Democrat. She explained what she's been hearing from her constituents.
I mean, a lot of fear and anxiety, a lot of concern, you know, in this state. The economics over cutting off of federal grants and services is pretty significant in Alaska because we get a lot of federal money to keep us going.
Protesters chanted for nearly an hour before marching through downtown Juneau, some singing along to the tune of The Times They Are Changin', a Bob Dylan song that was adopted by civil rights and anti-war activists.
Oh, the times they are a-changin'.
With help from Jamie Deep, I'm Clarice Larson in Juneau.
And you're listening to Tongass Voices, perspectives from the homelands of the Occoquan and beyond. Tamara Wilson is unpacking a living room at the Alaska State Museum. She made it out of felt, among other materials, for her show Slinkies in the Window Frame. For the exhibit, Wilson built accordion-like creatures covered in orange ceramic tiles. They'll be unfurled throughout the gallery space with nameplate necklaces that say things like, George. Those are the Slinkies.
They're totally useless, right? Like, the only thing that they do is bring joy, which I think is kind of wonderful. That's a little presumptuous of me to say that the work will bring joy, but if it does, that's great. But it really has no other function outside of just being present for the viewer to enjoy. I'm Tamara Wilson, and I'm an installation and painter from Fairbanks, Alaska. So a lot of my sort of formal background in arts was mostly painting, and then as it kind of developed over time, the painting sort of started taking over the space, creating the space. So then I started thinking less about the paintings themselves and more about people viewing the paintings or people being inside the space. And so then that kind of naturally turned into wanting to create almost like a three-dimensional painting for people to be in. So the installations came about because the paintings just weren't enough. So this is the backside of the slinky that will get put on this armature and then hung on the wall. So you can see the accordions kind of, it's like stretched out. And then when they're shipped, they're all condensed. So then that's when they're like resting slink. And then when they're in the gallery, they're pulled out so that they're in more of their organic moving form. So this piece that you're seeing from the backside, it's called U-Turn. And the like nameplates say U-Turn round and round. And so it's the necklace of the slinky, clearly. Because every slinky needs a necklace, apparently. Yeah. And then coming out of the end of it is that expanding foam that's against the wall with more chain. It's kind of like its guts spilling out. So, yeah, I mean, read into it what you might, but the nameplates kind of allude to why its contents are being spilled onto the floor. This right here is a frame, like a kind of classic oak frame, and it's going to go in this wall here, and so the people experiencing the installation that's going to be on the other side of the wall will be framed in this when they're inside it. So you will view them from the more traditional side of the gallery as if they were in the painting. It's very much a living space. The installation itself that's kind of adjacent to the more traditional gallery space is like set up like a living quarters. It has a bed, it has a television, a heat source, the radiator, a lot of house plants. And then on this side of the wall, on this side of the frame, are these like slinky pieces, and they are more like creatures, forms that might occupy that living room space. There is something that's kind of intriguing about looking into somebody else's space. And I guess that initially the inspiration for doing this like framed installation that the viewer can actually walk through the frame originally was just like, who are in these colossal portraits that you see in museums? Often like royalty or, I don't know, people that I don't relate to or know much about. And so the viewer being able to be in that frame themselves kind of elevates the viewer to be the portrait in a way.
That was Tamara Wilson talking about her installation exhibit, Slinkies and the Window Frame. The show opens Friday at 4:30 at the Alaska State Museum and runs for the next 2 months. And as for the weather here in Juneau, it's 27 degrees and a little bit cloudy. The low tonight is 22. The rest of this week looks cold and clear. This is KTOO.